Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Blessings to all for the new year. Welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Hugs from Heaven. That's Hugs with a Z at the end, and they can be found on the internet at www.hugsfromheaven.com. Our guest tonight is Dr. Claude Swanson, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008. So, Bob, are you ready for our first guest of the new year?
First guest of the new year. Well, it's a guest that we've had on several times before.
In many past years.
That's right, because he's a fascinating guest, and look forward to talking to him soon. I clipped out an article from the newspaper. Some listeners may recall us talking about this person before. We have a syndicated columnist. His name is Rabbi Mark Gelman. He used to do a TV show that was syndicated, and this column with Father Tom Hartman. So Father Tom is now incapacitated, unfortunately. He's very ill. Rabbi Gelman does the column himself. And it's a question and answer thing. He fields the questions, and he writes a column about it. And I've had several responses to his columns that I shot off before, and he never, ever even acknowledges them. But there's one that really got me going this weekend. Somebody writes, somebody in the that was in the spiritual realm. He says, my ministry is bereavement for young widows and widowers. I asked one of my priests if he could speak on why people should not seek out a medium. A local medium is drawing a lot of attention. I thought I'd try to educate people on why we shouldn't seek hope by trying to contact the dead. What are your views on the topic? Well, kind of a leading question right there. And I could have guessed what the answer was. But
that's why he chose that question.
Yeah. So basically, Gelman writes, shouldn't try to consult the dead for two reasons. One, most mediums are fake. Okay. And second, trying to contact the dead is a bad spiritual idea. And there's the crux, you know, the thing.
Because he's already decided what spiritual is.
Yeah, I mean, the crux of his article is that when a priest or a minister, he writes, or a rabbi comforts mourners, we try to give them ways to keep their hope alive while also accepting death's decree. Now, that's an issue right there. I mean, death's decree, in other words, you know, he's talking about the finality of death, almost as if it's a condemnation, you know.
Like an ashes to ashes, dust to dust, you're not there anymore.
Yeah, and how do you keep your hope alive by telling people that their loved one is extinguished forever? You know, that doesn't make much sense to me. He says, the medium pretends to provide ways to deny death. This is a cruel deception. It also can be an obstacle to a person's grief work, which is all about accepting death and moving on to a new future.
I have a problem with the way he wrote the whole thing. I mean, First of all, a medium doesn't deny death. The medium is accepting death, but it's telling you that there is something that still lives on, which is basically what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And we think the opposite, that it is the communication that that really keeps their hope alive, you know, not counseling about death's decree.
Right. Well, it, clearly he keeps himself in this small little box. I mean, just the fact that he uses the word spirituality to mean only the key religions that he represents. I mean, there are religions that accept this stuff, but only those religions that he talks about, but, you know, historically through the whole God Squad run on TV and in the newspaper. There were only certain religions that were covered there, and yet they portrayed this atmosphere that they were bringing everybody together under this God Squad thing. And yet he, in encapsulating his thoughts here, he's only covering a small portion of the religions that are there, and yet he professes to be bringing people together.
Yeah, you know, he goes on to talk about, he says, well, all right, then he finally raises the possibility, what if the medium is real, and what if it is possible to speak to the dead? He says, if so, should we do it? He says, it's like the question, if you could know the day and year you will die, would you want to know this? I don't really see why it's a similar thing.
It's not. He's not good at analogies.
Most people would not want to know when they're going to die.
Okay, some people would, but...
Yeah, but I mean, I agree with that, but I don't see what it has to do with communication with other realms. He said, we do better when certain spiritual barriers are not breached, and the main barrier erected by God is the barrier between life and death. So there we have it. I mean, there is the assumption that God created this barrier that is not to be transversed. And one could easily argue the opposite. Maybe our purpose is to to be able to breach that
barrier. Well, I was going to ask the other question, and when did God tell him this, that God created this barrier? I mean, who says there is a barrier? Just he did there, right there in the newspaper. There's nothing that tells us there's this barrier. I mean, we recognize a veil, which is a whole different thing than a barrier. And a barrier implies something that's not to be passed through. But a veil is something that just has a gentle division between two things.
Right. And the if you view life as a continuum, and this is just a physical experience, just everything's part of life, so there are no, you know, no barriers. You know?
Right. So, and that's the other point that we need to make here, is that he clearly not only has put himself into this little religious box, but he's also put himself into a box that doesn't allow science to come in, nor does he go out seeking any of this.
Yeah, well, you'll like this, though. He writes, in life, we are sustained by a religious belief that death is not the end of us, it's a belief. If you could talk to a dead person, then you would not need to believe in life after death.
That's ridiculous.
If you could talk to a dead person, then you would not need to believe in life and death.
Wouldn't you rather know that there's life in, after death rather than just to believe?
Well, he says you would have empirical proof, and religion is not about proof, religion is about belief.
And there's the problem with religion. So the whole concept is you can only be religious if you only have a belief in things. But if you suddenly know something or learn something, you can't be religious anymore.
Well, to him, you know, proof, you know, is in the realm of science, and science should not be confused with religion. But to me, it could be a religious blessing to have the empirical proof, you know, especially if that proof also shows that there's some correlation between the way in which you live your physical life affects this continued life after death. So, you know, I know that I've tried to confront them before when he's written about near-death experiences, and he also goes on to talk about that as well. He talks about a misguided attempt to make religion scientific. So to a lot of people, you know, in the clergy, there's a clear delineation, you know, between the two. Like a lot of people say, well, there's a merging between science and spirituality. Well, not to people that believe in the religious dogma. Twain never shall meet, you know. So I'm sure there's more. I'll be sending off my letter to Rabbi Gelman, and of course it'll be ignored once again.
And we'll post it in the newsletter again for everybody to read. But maybe somebody who represents one of the spiritualist churches of England need to write to him, because clearly there's a religion that doesn't have that barrier between the two worlds.
Right. Well, we're going to go to our break so we can bring in Dr. Swanson. So stay with us, and we will be back in a couple of minutes.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org, or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Imagine Seeing Spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Claude Swanson. Our sponsor is Hugs from Heaven, and that's Hugs with a Z at the end. And they can be found on the internet at www.hugsfromheaven.com. Bob?
And we're proud to have Dr. Claude Swanson with us. Claude is a physicist. He was always curious to understand the world at a deeper level. He did his undergraduate work at MIT. He did his graduate work at Princeton University, where he received his PhD in physics. At Princeton, he was awarded the National Science Foundation and Putnam Fellowships. He later formed his own consulting company, carried out studies in applied physics for commercial and governmental agencies, including the U.S. Army, the CIA. And for the last 20 years or so, he's managed to combine this so-called mainstream career with the pursuit of unconventional physics, a pursuit that has led him down many paths, including things such as underwater research, haunted houses, remote viewing, psychokinesis, remote healing, and the testing of devices that can measure these unseen forces. Claude is the former president of Forever Family Foundation, which means he's presently the chairman of the board, and is the author of a two-part series, The Synchronized Universe and Life Force, The Scientific Basis. You can find out a tremendous amount of information on his website, which is synchronizeduniverse.com. Welcome, Claude.
Well, thank you, Bob and Fran. Great to be here.
And it's always great to speak with you. You know, we mentioned some of the, in the intro, you know, mainstream and unconventional. So, I mean, some of your colleagues, when they hear your name, might say that, oh, that's the guy that investigates paranormal phenomena. I mean, I suppose they prefer that term because it doesn't quite fit in with the established scientific principles that they live by.
It's very strange. I was once one of those people. I went through that education system, and you know, basically, you exclude a lot of really important and interesting phenomena if you want to stick to the old paradigm. So one day, when you finally begin sort of waking up and hearing about things that really go on in the world, you realize our present science just doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of explaining it. There's a much more rich science out there if you look a little further. So that's why I find that the afterlife and paranormal phenomena and things like that are such rich, exciting areas for science.
Yeah. You know, Claude, I mean, just about every phenomenon that falls under the label of paranormal involves some sort of unseen force. So, I mean, would you say that one of your main focuses is identifying the force that makes these things possible?
I would. I think that our present materialistic science is really based on particles, electrons and atoms, things that have mass to them, and they exert forces, and our conventional mainstream physics knows of the four basic forces, electromagnetism and gravity and the strong and weak nuclear forces. And in our Western science, if you can't explain something with one of those four things, then their attitude is sort of it didn't happen, and it couldn't have happened, and you must be wrong. And it's sort of painted into a corner, really, in what they will look at. So I think what's happening with the Russian discovery in the torsion field, and in my book, The Life Force, I'm looking at forces and effects that don't involve matter, and yet they involve effects that we can really measure. So I think it's an exciting area, and we have to really get people to open their minds to the idea that there can be forces and effects that aren't conventional matter. And of course, spirits and ghosts and psychic phenomena are examples of that.
So I don't think you had thought about those forces while you were at MIT or Princeton, right?
they had shielded me and sheltered me from them.
you blocked
it. It was funny, Bob. I always had the intuition that there was something more, that there was something, a force that connected us together and that exerted an influence over large distances that was being left out. But it wasn't until the mid-1980s I began hearing rumors about remote viewing. And remote viewing is now very well documented, very well demonstrated, used by the U.S. military, used by corporations, used by many different people successfully, and yet it's based on principles that completely defy Western science, and it just tells you that this other force is very real, and it's really the force that spirit phenomena and the afterlife are intimately involved with.
Yeah. Well, when we talk about this force, I mean, and you mentioned remote viewing, aren't we talking about consciousness?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that our consciousness is not limited in space and time, and we can reach out and connect with other consciousnesses or other objects, in without limit, really, to space or time or distance.
Yeah, and as you and I know that that was one of your great interests, especially when you first got into this work, and you even wrote about your experiences where you tried remote viewing, and I know that I think I saw an illustration that you did a drawing while you were remote viewing, which turned out to be Pompeii, and. Of course, as you point out, your consciousness can transcend time and space. And here you were writing, you were drawing all these things in the present that took place in the past and were able to identify the target that way. So that must have been tremendously exciting for you.
It was. By that point, I'd studied for 10 years very intensely, many, many documents and books about these things, but I never had an experience myself. And they say that getting a PhD is a real hindrance, is a hazard if you're trying to do psychic phenomena, because your left brain, your analytical part that's always trying to ask and answer questions and make rules, that part gets in the way of that psychic perception of psychic sensitivity. So it's probably one of the reasons why we have as much difficulty in convincing scientists of the reality of these phenomena, because the scientific education handicaps the scientist to make him less sensitive to be able to experience these phenomena. Luckily, the military had developed a remote viewing program which is structured so that it basically gives your left brain, an analytical part, something to do. It's constantly giving it little chores, like put this information in a box. Which box do you put it in? Is it a magnitude? Is it a, you have to categorize things so that your poor little left brain is so busy trying to categorize information that it gets out of the way and it stops interfering with the psychic process. When you do that, then your mind can function and you can receive psychic information. So even someone who's handicapped with a PhD like myself was able to remote view by following the protocol. And those drawings you're talking about were one result of that. It's pretty exciting to, you know, to have the information coming in and to be able to do it.
Yeah, I think, you know, personal experience trumps all, you know, despite all the knowledge and research, you know, that really sends it home. And for people that don't know you, I mean, I can attest to the fact that there's probably no one that has more stuff in his left brain than you. I mean, that's why your books
it's pretty cluttered up there.
Pages long for each book. And yet, for somebody like you to be able to successfully do things like remote viewing, it really drives the point home that we can. There is a balance, you know, between the two. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the synchronized universe theory. I can summarize it, perhaps, was that, you know, we're all on this plane of existence, one of many different planes, and here we synchronize with everything from the subatomic, you know, to the macro. You know, we synchronize with atoms, with particles. But then I guess other universes, other planes of existence, have their own synchronization that's different from ours. So does this mean that these different planes of existence can interact with each other, or are they separate and distinct?
Well, they probably, by and large, are separate, but I think they can interact. When I was led to that theory myself, which is maybe 15, 20 years ago now, I was looking at experiments where people, I mean, there are yogis who can teleport, teleportation experiments. I have a whole chapter about teleportation in my book. And if an object can pass through another solid object like a wall, then it says that matter is not the solid stuff that we assume, that this ability for the forces that keep things from bumping into each other, that could be turned off, so it could be located in the same space. There's lots of examples where people, where objects or people pass through other objects or people, teleportation, bilocation, things like that, with yogis, and I cite those cases. And so if that happens, then it means that our conventional idea of matter is not what we thought it was, that there's something else. And that's where the synchronized universe idea came up, that what we call real matter and when we feel a force, when I touch a table, for example, the atoms in that table repel my fingers and I feel a force, I feel a touch. But it's because the particles, their motions are synchronized with each other, so they happen to be moving directly toward the particles in my hand at that moment, and it's the synchronization that causes the force to occur. So other objects in other parallel realities could be moving cyclically in a different speed, a different frequency, a different phase, so they wouldn't be pointing right toward my particles at that moment. And so there's a synchronization issue there, and so you have many, many realities which are different only by how that those motions are synchronized. Mm. And it's easier. I have some pictures in the last chapter of my book to illustrate this idea. But basically, when you change synchronization, then you can pass right through another solid object. And if you think of the Philippine psychic surgeons or people like John of God in Brazil who do psychic surgery, they can open skin, they can pass objects through skin. And of course, this is often debunked and ridiculed by skeptics. And I'm sure there are some psychic surgeons who are fake, but there are some who are real, some who have been tested, and these phenomena are quite genuine, which means that this kind of process of being able to change matter so you can pass right through it is something real. So I was trying to explain that and understand how that could possibly be, and that's where the synchronized universe idea came from. The other part of that theory is then that you can have these parallel universes with slightly different frequencies or different phases, and they're all overlapping. So they can all be right here in the same space I am, but I'm not aware of them because the phases are different. However, I do think that there's technology we could shift our phase to become aware or interact with them. And also there are forms of healing, such as shamanic healing or matrix energetics, which Richard Bartlett teaches, where you take advantage of those other parallel realities that are very close to our own, and you shift from this reality into one of those to achieve healing. And this is something that shamans have practiced for thousands of years. So to me, the synchronized universe model actually helps understand how it's possible to do that kind of healing.
So in order to facilitate these shifts, I mean, some people are able to do this on a fairly regular basis of synchronizing with these other, you know, planes just by some subtle energy force. But you also think that technology, as we go forward, may enable us all to do that, even if we don't have that inner gift. Is that a fair statement? I mean, everybody's wondering how they can, move in and out of these various planes. I mean, do you see a time when we'll be able to do that more readily?
I do. It's one of those big questions. I think this is coming. I think that one of the things you start to realize when you start to study the higher planes and interaction with the spirit world and things like that and parallel realities is that there are rules about it. So we in the West, in our technological society, we tend to think that there aren't any ethical restrictions. But I suspect that as we start to blunder into these more subtle domains, we'll start to discover that there may be some ethical restrictions as well as far as what we're allowed to do. But I do think that technology is coming. I think energy medicine, energy healing is one kind of simple application where you're bringing in parallel dimensions in a small way. But I think we're heading that direction.
I read a study a couple weeks ago that was done, and that showed that our brains access information that information never makes it to our conscious awareness. And the implication was that it's the brain that decides what we need to know, which is a little scary. Do you think that our brains are always accessing these subtle energies and forces, but filters them out, you know, because the brain thinks it knows what we need to know?
you could be right, Bob. It's a very deep question. I think, first of all, in our Western model is that it's all happening in the brain. The brain's a big computer, and it's all happening there. One of the things I talk about in the synchronized universe is there's lots of evidence that the brain is more like a radio station, radio transmitter and receiver, than it is like a computer. And some of the information that we're accessing is not in the brain, but it's outside in the universe. The Hindu mystics called it the Akashic Record. They believe that every event that's ever happened, and perhaps even that will happen, is sort of preserved and recorded out in the distant matter of the universe, and that we have the theoretical ability to access information. So when people, for example, are doing a past life regression and remembering events that happened in a previous life, they're really tuning into memories that are stored in the Akashic Record. So I think the brain acts like a radio transmitter and receiver interacting with that information, and that's one of the functions that's right now not very well understood in the Western models. And that may be some of the types of information you're talking about, where the brain may be aware of things, but it's not bringing it up to your conscious mind unless you're really ready to to hear it.
Right. That's very true. We're going to go...
Like, for example, I think sometimes we meet someone, and there's a sense that that person seems very familiar. There's a sense of familiarity, recognition. We may not know what the past connection really is, but the brain might really be in touch with more information about the past life connections. But it, you know, if we're not really comfortable with knowing things like that, we'll just settle for the fact that person just seems familiar.
Yeah, I think sometimes the brain is an obstacle to, especially when you're talking about some of the things that we're discussing. You know, it just gets in the way. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, I'd like to talk more about some of the stuff that's in the life force and talk about some healing modalities. So please stay with us, and we'll be back in a few minutes with Dr. Claude Swanson.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's Dr. Parisetti in one word.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Claude Swanson. Our sponsor is Hugs from Heaven, and that's Hugs spelled with a Z at the end. They can be found on the internet at www.hugsfromheaven.com. If you're a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, we have a few foundation messages for our listeners. And there, we want to let you know always, there are three ways to show us that you like Signs of Life Radio. First, you could go to the Signs of Life Radio page on Facebook and like us. Two, you can use the donate button on any of our weekly email show reminders to support programming. And three, remember us when you shop. Yes, when you shop, you can support the work of our 100% volunteer not-for-profit organization without spending any additional money at all. First, you'll need a credit card to shop online. So if you don't already have one or are in need of another, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Second, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com, but first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for, and there are more than 1,400 online stores like Adidas, Bloomingdale's, Drugstore.com, The Body Shop, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our holidays past raffle winners have been drawn, and the winners have been notified via snail mail. So please do not call the office to check if you've won. The names of the winners are posted on our event page. And speaking of which, our Holiday of the Earth raffle is up and ready for future winners to get those tickets. The link is available on the website, and please be generous as these two raffles each help us fund our very basic of programs. In this raffle, you can win a one-hour phone reading with one of our certified mediums, Neil Zapowski, Renee Buck, Renata Santarelli, Lee Ashley, or Bobby Allison. It's only $5 a chance. Two of our annual December Holidays Past events had to be rescheduled. Holidays Past in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey is now set for January 18th, and our Oceanside, New York Holidays Past is rescheduled for February 28th. There are still a few seats available. Our annual grief retreat is set for the weekend of July 25th to 27th, back at the wonderful guest house in Chester, Connecticut. We've also added on a day just for parents who have lost children. Details continue to develop, but the event is up and running for those who do not want to miss out on this meaningful experience. Okay, Bob, back to you.
Okay, are you out of breath?
Yes.
And we are back with Dr. Claude Swanson. He is the author of a two-part series, The Synchronized Universe and Life Force, The Scientific Basis. If you want to get an education, just go to Claude's website, synchronizeduniverse.com. And, you know, let me spell synchronize for everybody. It's synchronizeduniverse.com. Claude, you couldn't pick an easier website?
Well, I'm sorry. and the English, of course, spell it differently just to make it even more confusing.
Yeah.
An easier way, if you put my name, Claude Swanson, into Google, it pops up pretty quickly.
Yes, it does, and that's what I always do. Besides, I get
a
smiling face. So I know that the life force focuses more on some of these subtle energies that are used, for healing. And it's certainly amazing. You outline many experiments and some of the ancient modalities that work, and we know that the power of prayer and intention, and I know that there are experiments that have been done in changing cells, and it really is incredible. When somebody does this, these practitioners that are able to heal, do you think that these subtle energies actually affect the DNA of the person?
I think in some cases, yes, I do.
Yeah.
It is amazing the types of things that go on. The answer is probably yes, Bob, but I don't know. I can't think of an experiment right now and where the DNA has been tested before and after. Certainly, some of the modern research shows that DNA has much more flexibility than we ever thought. I mean, the old picture from the 50s, when people first discovered DNA, is, oh, it's a code. It's like a computer code, and it determines how you're shaped and what your colors of your eyes and et cetera, et cetera. And it's all just cut and dried like a machine. But one of the great modern discoveries is that DNA has a lot of flexibility in how it expresses and what proteins it actually produces and how it does it. And there's a feedback process that goes on so that the power of prayer, the power of talking, the power of the attitudes that we communicate to our body, we're finding out that those actually work their way down to the DNA. And the chain of communication seems to involve what's called biophotons, which are little pulses of light that the DNA produces and also receives. They're little quantum pulses of light that is sort of the mode, the medium of communication for DNA, but it can really change the DNA physically when it receives the right kinds of signals. And that DNA in turn, that those pulses of light in turn, interact with what's called the torsion field that is the life force. So, and that makes up the aura, and that makes up ESP, another psychic phenomena, another consciousness phenomena. So my book really tries to pull together this chain of interaction, and I think the bottom line is the DNA can be changed by consciousness and by energy healing, and that's one of the means by which healing occurs.
Mm. I know, knowing what you know, I would assume that you're a bit encouraged by the sheer number of people today that are willing to investigate these alternative methods of healing. It seems to me that it's a great many more people than it used to be. You find that as well?
I do. And of course, when we look in Oriental medicine, in the Hindu Ayurvedic or the Chinese medicine, you have traditions that are thousands of years old where they've been able to cure things that in the West, we don't really know how to cure. And so some of these Qigong masters were able to stop cancer and things like that pretty effectively. So there's some areas in which what we're calling alternative medicine in the West, but it is the traditional medicine in the East. And it's pretty effective in some areas.
Yeah. So let me ask you a personal question, which you don't have to answer if you don't want, but it's something that I think about a lot. So I wonder if I were diagnosed, with a serious disease like cancer, whether or not I would first pursue some of these alternative healing modalities. So I guess the question is, what about you? I mean, knowing all that you know.
Yeah, I saw that one coming. I was asked the exact same question a couple years ago by Art Bell. By Art Bell of the Art Bell Coast to Coast AM show, he asked me that question one night, and I said I would buy a ticket to Brazil, and I would go see John of God. I mean, if it was something really serious, okay?
Yeah.
And it turns out, after he grilled me about it for a while, that his daughter actually lives there in the Casa in Brazil with John of God.
Really?
Yeah. And, when I say that, I mean, no one there at the Casa can make any promise. The John of God cannot make any promise whatsoever that any particular person will be healed of any particular thing. You just don't know. There's so many other higher dimensional aspects, you know, that, I mean, I believe, and one of the things he says is that illness is part of a spiritual process. It's a teaching. There are lessons that we have illnesses typically to learn a lesson, and when we learn the lesson, then oftentimes the illness will go away. So there's a spiritual dimension to healing, and it's not talked about very much. But I found this. I took several of Richard Bartlett's courses in matrix energetics, and there again, you learn procedures. And this is the Western way. We always have a procedure, right? A process, a set of rules, set of steps. But in the end, I'm kind of lazy, and I would just kind of do his process where I would allow the spirit to kind of put together this magical, imaginary, energetic structure that you don't quite know what it is, but you're trusting that spirit knows, and it's going to do the healing. And the whole thing began to, you know, persuade me that a lot of healing has this spiritual dimension to it that in the West we don't understand very well.
Yeah.
But, so I, you know, I that, guess that's a that, missing piece.
That is very interesting because, you know, we always we talk a lot about the fact that some people think that anything out of the ordinary or paranormal is spiritual. You know, like they'll even put, you know, telepathy and ESP and remote viewing in a spiritual category, which I don't believe. I just think it's an ability that we have. But as you say, when it comes to healing, maybe it is spiritual in nature, unlike some of the other phenomena. So, you know, it may not be the same.
Well, it's very strange. There are quite a few near-death experience cases. I know you probably have interviewed people or you know, who had. There are so many cases now where people have a really very serious, difficult illnesses. Could be cancer that's metastasized or some other illness that's life-threatening that's throughout the entire body. They have their near-death experience. And when they come back, the symptoms are gone. I mean, I've seen this a number of times now,
yeah,
where somehow the near-death process changes. And so what happened to those symptoms? What happened to the cancer? Where did it go when they had the experience? And some of these cases don't follow the logical, you know, course that you would expect. So spirituality and these higher dimensional processes are somehow, you know, involved with disease in a very profound way.
Yeah,
that's kind of all I know. But it's,
yeah, well, it makes sense. I mean, in those cases with those NDEs with being healed from serious illness, I mean, you or I might say that it was logical to assume that the healing was done using subtle energies from people in other realms of existence, you know, whereas the medical doctors say, it's spontaneous remission, right? So,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I know we don't have much time left, but I did want to mention how much time do we have left?
We have like a minute and a half.
About a minute, okay. I just wanted to mention to people, to when you go on Claude's website on Synchronized Universe, he puts out, which we're very grateful for, these global peace prayers. As a matter of fact, we read one, as listeners know, at the end of each show. And I think that they can be very effective in affecting change.
We should get everybody to pray at the same time.
Right. So we totally support you in that, Claude, and we join you in your work, and we're very grateful for it. I thank you so much for joining us again. It's always fascinating and a pleasure.
I wish we could go through all 1,400 pages, but we'll just have to keep having you.
You and Fran do a wonderful service to so many people who benefit from the wonderful work you do, and that's what I want to thank you again for being there and all the good things you do.
Well, thank you so much, Claude. Have a wonderful and a healthy new year, and I'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind as we visualize the healing light upon Leanne Ashley, David Mello, Phyllis Alexander, Betty Alexander, Ann Hutchinson, John Cahaly, Henry Stark, Johnny Jackson, Kimberly Saavedra, Rachel S., Jeanette Davies, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Miriam Pierce, Gafflora Prisco, Stanley Mullen, Julie B., Glenna Irwin, Barbara Patillo, David Hayes, Rita Springer, Eileen Lafada, Mark Barron, Wendy Lippo, Vicky Steffi, Barbara Russell, Tim Donahue, Francis Mastracco, Jean Lash, Joelle Orman, Philip McPhee, Tracy Lee Nash, and Rita Dwyer. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we'd like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.